get to the end of life and discover we have a wrong image of God, that we don't understand who He is. And Scripture tells us in many plain ways who God is. And so we're studying 9 attributes of God, and this is the 5th, God's holiness. God's holiness. So when we talk about holiness, the purpose of this message is to move each of us to become not just serious, but very serious about our holiness in Christ. Whenever Christians talk about the holiness of God, there seems to be this tendency to soft pedal the topic. Holiness is something that Christians have a hard time being very serious about. So with those people around you, discuss this question. People generally avoid the topic of God's holiness because, finish that sentence, just discuss that with some folks around you. A couple of thoughts. Anybody have a thought? What are some things, reasons why we tend to backpedal or soft pedal this? Yes? Okay, don't understand the seriousness of it. Anyone else?
Because we know we don't measure up.
Because we know we don't measure up? All right. So maybe we understand the seriousness of God's holiness, and I don't want to see that part, because I'm going to see His purity compared to my not purity. That's uncomfortable. Yes? Well, that's true. Sometimes people resist wanting to hear about God. That's true. That's true. Well, let's consider the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk, or is it Habakkuk? Habakkuk, who had a question for God. He wanted to know why such a holy God would allow all the evils and troubles Habakkuk saw around him. He went to pray and he said, "Lord, I'm not coming down from my place of prayer until I get an answer." Wow. We know that God answers on His time. Habakkuk might have been there a while. That's from chapters 1 and 2 of Habakkuk. And when God finally came into Habakkuk's presence, you know what he did? He trembled at his own filth compared to God's holiness. Wow. Isaiah was probably as holy a human being as could be found in Israel, and yet when he saw the holiness of God, his response, recorded in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, was this. He said, "Woe is me, I am undone, I'm ruined." When he saw the holiness, purity of God. Prophets in the Old Testament were ordained or purposed by God to speak for Him. And when they spoke for God, they didn't say things like, "You know, I kind of get this sense that God wants you to maybe do this or do that." They didn't say it that way, did they? Any idea what they did say? "Thus says the Lord." Here it is, straight from Him to you. Whoa. They didn't beat around the bush in speaking for God. People knew that the prophets were making a heavenly announcement straight from God. In Jewish literature, these announcements were called oracles. An oracle or an announcement. Oracles came in 2 types. The first type told of prosperity. Good news! God loves you. God forgives. God's on your side. God will win this battle for you. The good news. Recognizing oracles that contained good news was easy because they usually began with this word, blessed or blessed. Fast forward now from the Old Testament to the New, Jesus' first recorded teachings, we now call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, lists 9 brief blessings or beatitudes. I heard somebody say one time about beatitudes means, be at it, dude. The beatitudes each beginning with the word blessed. It's an oracle. Jesus is speaking as a prophet straight from God. This is a blessing straight from God to you. By using this word, Jesus is taking on the role of a prophet. The listening Jews recognized right away that each of Jesus' statements was a divine announcement straight from God. Excuse me. The other type of oracle is bad news. It usually begins with the word, whoa. Not W-H-O-A. Whoa. W-O-E. Which means a sorrowful anguish and is the pronouncement of God's just and right judgment against disobedient people. Excuse me, I have a cough. So Jesus, speaking directly from for God, gives the scribes and Pharisees an oracle of judgment or an oracle of woe. He says, woe to you when you make a convert, for you make that person twice the person of hell that you are. Woe. Straight from God, Jesus is speaking as a prophet. Woe is an announcement, an oracle, that says this is coming from God. It's not an opinion. That's out of Matthew 23. In Scripture, when we see, when you see the one word used 3 times in a row, it indicates the superlative. The superlative is grammar, English grammar, for example. We would say it this way. This is good, this is better, and this is best. Good, better, best. Superlative. It's, or we could say bad, worse, or worst. It's a way of measuring the quality of something or someone in 3 increasing or decreasing levels. Revelation 4:8 tells the living creatures around the throne of God proclaiming day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They are using the superlative to describe the character of God. They are saying, in effect, they are saying, God, you are the Holy One, the first measure of holiness. They are saying, God, you are holier than your works and your creation, the second measure of holiness. And they are saying that you, God, are the holiest over all beings you've ever created, the third and highest measure of holiness. God's holiness becomes the standard by which the holiness of all others is measured. We can describe this holiness like this. This dot represents God's holiness. It's the target. This is a plumb bob. And when you use a plumb bob, what does it tell you? It tells you what exactly vertical looks like. Exactly vertical. Christ on the cross gave us exact vertical. God. It's not that way. It's not that way. And when we stand against the plumb line of God's holiness, You can tell when you're off. One way or to other. And when you stand next to God's holiness, His straight up and down points exactly dead center of holiness. And you know, by looking at God straight vertical, what holiness is. What it looks like, what it sounds like, what it acts like, perhaps even what it tastes like. Some of your thoughts perhaps were, when we were answering the question, was maybe we're afraid to act too holy, that some people might think, oh, goody two shoes, or holy, or, you know, you think you're holier than thou, and that kind of stuff. We, church, you become the measure of God for other people to see. Do not be shy about your holiness in your community, in your workplace, in your family. Because when people see plumb line, they do one of two things. 1 Corinthians tells us that you are either, to some people, you are an aroma of goodness, of holiness, if you will, for those who are being saved, and a stench to those who are perishing. You know, if I was perishing, as painful as it might be, I would want to know that I'm perishing. I would want to know that I have an option other than perishing. Wouldn't you? Be holy. Be holy in your community, at work, at the doctor's office, in the waiting room. Be holy so people can know. Have you ever had people say to you, I'll move this so that we don't get in the way. Have you ever had people say to you something like, you seem to be a happy person. Why is that? You seem to be peaceful. You can tell a peaceful person, especially in our country today. You can tell a peace when peace is on the inside and there's all kinds of chaos on the outside. Why are you so calm? Why don't you just hate everybody? What's happening there? I like some things that, Shauna, if I can pick on you a little bit. Thank you. On Facebook, Shauna will put out something of maybe a personal thought she just had, and either it was a good one, and let's follow that kind of thought, everybody, or, you know, I went down this road, and I realized I shouldn't, and I'm making correction. Where are you? These kinds of questions, that's a great way to use social media. Holiness can be talked about not just through you physically, but through social media, through emails, different ways of communication. In Revelation 8:13, an announcement of certain judgment is made to those who oppose God and persecute His people. The oracle here says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, to the inhabitants of the earth doesn't mean you, Christian. It means to those who oppose God and persecute His people. The three woes are a way of saying the judgment of God is not measured by the severity of the first woe or even of the second, but the severity of His judgment is measured by the severity of the third and greatest woe. At what level does God expect us to revere and adjust our lives to His level of holiness? Look at your sermon outline. You'll see three words, holy, 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 on a slant. And you'll also see a line underneath those three words. This week, one thing I'd like to challenge you to do is place an X on that line where you see yourself in terms of your holiness compared to God's? Where do you place yourself? Be as honest as you can. You know, some people might say, I don't even belong on this line. But God has made you holy, Christian. Be holy because He is holy. Well, let's look at a definition of holiness. The definition is this: God is separate from His creation. Out of everything we know and experience, see, can feel, that which we call reality is in God's creation. God is not His creation. People like to worship things like trees and people. But God is not in the tree. He's not a human being. He is spirit. But to be separate means God is distinct or different from us, meaning that we are not God, nor are we junior gods learning to become fully gods. God's holiness is so far superior to ours that to even attempt to reach God's level would be like us trying to jump over the Grand Canyon. The Hebrew word holy is first used to describe God in Exodus 15:11. Let me read that for you. Exodus 15:11 says this: Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? Who is like you? It's impossible to experience God's holiness and yawn. You just can't do it. Every example of people coming before the holiness of God, whether an angel or God Himself, did what? Face down in the dirt. Because the vertical was seen. The vertical was seen. God's holiness was seen. God's holiness is strikingly beyond the word good. 1 Samuel 2:2, Psalm 22:3, both describe the excellence of God's holiness. But the description of God's holiness recorded in Isaiah 6, in my view, paints perhaps the best picture. King Uzziah of Israel has just died. Israel is without a king. God lets Isaiah see Him, God, the King of Kings. And He says in Isaiah 6, Isaiah chapter 6 says this: In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were the seraphs, or seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, here it is, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Wow. Let's look at verse 1. God is on His throne. The throne room is the one seated on the throne holds full authority. Holds full authority over His kingdom. Now, God's kingdom isn't Israel. It's His entire creation, specifically us on earth. He established His kingdom here. He is the one who establishes and removes governments. In your history books in school, and maybe some that you have at home, you'll read about governments that were born and then ceased to exist. God makes that happen. He governs over all history. He's presiding over history. He is the king over all kings, and his train filled the temple. His train is a clue about his authority. In verse 1, it says that the train, or the trailing length of a king's robe, revealed his power and authority. For a king's robe and that train that follows behind, the longer the train, the more power and authority that train represented that king possessed. God's train completely filled the temple. What is Isaiah telling us by the train of God's robe? He's telling us there's no more room for any other king here. Only God is the king. There is no competition. Isaiah was one of the most holy men we meet in the Bible. He's the Billy Graham of his day. And yet when he saw the holiness of God, he pronounced judgment upon himself. Woe is me! I don't stand a chance of measuring up to God's holiness. I am ruined, he said. Wow. God's holiness. Don't be afraid of it. But let it speak to you. Let God's holiness speak to you. Mankind's response to God's holiness usually is to hide from it. After Adam and Eve sinned, God came to the garden. He's walking around, and what was he asking? Adam, where are you? And Adam responded, we're hiding. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. In other words, we're ashamed to be seen as you created us. Who told you you were naked? Where did that message come from? It wasn't me. And that's where Adam starts blaming Eve. And Eve starts blaming who? Satan. The blame game started way back then. It was the same reason they were hiding, is the same reason anyone hides from God. The presence of God's holiness exposes everything that is not holy. John chapter 3. God's holiness exposes everything that is not holy. John chapter 3 verse 20 says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed or seen. Are you hiding something from God? As long as we judge ourselves by ourselves or by people who are like us, we feel justified that our sinful acts are no worse than anyone else's. We like to say that we're only human. Let's think about that phrase for a second. We're only human. That's like saying, God, you created me with flaws. I'm only human. Like, that excuses me. We like to say we're human, and God will maybe excuse our mistakes. Did God ever say to you, you have one free sin against his will? You have one free insult to his integrity? Do you see that anywhere in Scripture? I don't. But let's just say for a moment that we do get one free sin. Have you used yours up yet? Judge yourself only by the standard of God's holiness. Only by him. Why? Because that's what he will do. You might be thinking, I will never be able to live up to God's standard of holiness. And you would be right without Jesus. But along with God's excellent holiness comes an excellent plan. Okay, I want everybody to smile right now. Okay, the plan is coming. It's an excellent plan. We can see God's plan unfolding clear back in Genesis chapter 3. We can see it here in Isaiah chapter 6 as well. We can see the plan by what God did not do when Isaiah said, woe is me. He did not stand over Isaiah and say, yeah, you grovel, you scumbag. He didn't say that. You deserve every curse and more, Isaiah. No, he didn't say that. He did not coddle Isaiah saying, you're being too hard on yourself. It's okay. Don't worry about that. Stop grieving. It's not that bad. God did not do either of those things. What God did do is that he had one of his angels take a tong. As we read a little bit further in chapter 6, he took a pair of tongs and went to the altar where the hot coals were burning. And he took the tongs and he took a hot coal and he went over to Isaiah and touched his lips. Psst. And the fire purged his lips, cleansed his lips. Can you imagine what this was like? Was God punishing Isaiah? No, no. He was cleansing and healing his lips because your lips reveal what's in your heart. What comes out of a man's mouth came from his heart, Luke chapter 6 tells us. God was purifying Isaiah's lips and preparing them to be a speaker for God to other people. Brothers and sisters, today you are Isaiah. You are the one to speak for God. God's holiness demands that he punish sin, but he also has compassion on sinners. He sent Jesus to take your punishment, the punishment of everyone who would respond to him. And just like he cleansed Isaiah's lips and heart, God cleanses the lips and hearts of each and every Christian, of each and every repentant sinner. He makes you holy so that you will accurately represent him and his holy character. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin so that you might become the righteousness of God. Okay, everybody smile. You are the righteousness of God. Do not be afraid of that. Do not be ashamed of that. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Woo! Brothers and sisters, we carry a great responsibility, but we have even a greater God who goes with us and says, I'm asking you, I'm commissioning you to speak for me. The purpose of this message is not to bring your salvation into question. If you are a Christian here today and you aren't sure about your standing with God, let's talk. If you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ, I want you to know that God is tugging at your heart right now. Let's talk. I have good news for you. The purpose of this message is to move each of us to become not just serious, but very serious about the holiness God has placed on you. Do you have something in your house that does not belong there? Is not holiness, does not represent the holiness of God? Do you have something in your heart that does not represent the holiness of God? We let things creep into our homes, into our hearts, because our culture is constantly bombarding us with things that say, hey, it's okay, don't worry about it. It's just a little thing. Let's respond to God today, and we'll close with this. Let's respond to God. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says this. Read it with me. But just as you who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Amen. I challenge you today, what one change will you make in your life to be more serious, to be very serious about the holy God who's called you to be holy? What change will you make? You and I represent and we speak for God. And we want to represent a vertical God. Father God, we ask your presence here today. We ask your power, your understanding, your significance. Help us, Father, to represent and represent you well. Refine us, Father, I pray. Refine us that just like that coal on Isaiah's lips, Father, will you take your fire, the Holy Spirit, and burn out of us things that do not measure up to holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to respond to God today in whatever way He's tugging at your heart to do.